Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Louis D'Souza and Astrid Kaufman. Today is Monday, October the 7th, 2019. It is 4 p.m. New York time. That's 1 p.m. Los Angeles, 9 p.m. in London, 5 a.m. in Tokyo, and 6 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today. Your daily dose of happy, and I'm happy to be starting the week once more again doing these podcasts. I like having the weekend off, but I like getting back into it because this is like my this is like my added little process. I mean, Louis, I mean, we talked often about how you can have morning processes and evening processes, you know, what you do before you go to sleep, what you do when you wake up. But this is my midday process doing the podcast. So that's why I always look forward to it.
Anything that raises your vibration is a podcast. I just want to say, hi, everybody, all the listeners. And, you know, looking forward to chatting again about LOA. So, how's your day been? Because it's now, what's the time there, Walt?
We're at 4 p.m. New York time.
4 p.m. So you've had a bit of work already.
Yeah, actually, I was just paying employees. They usually like that.
That's a good time.
That's a good day for them.
It is a very good day, yes. Yes, all the anybody who is on the Gardens by Louis payroll will be happy to know payroll is done. You are getting another check this week, so all is well with the world.
And I like also, your happy dose of daily dose of happy. That sounds really, really good.
Isn't that good?
In fact, just hearing it makes me feel better.
Mm. Well, that's one of the reasons that I say it. It literally is just to feel better every single time I say it. I've been going with that now for a couple of years now. And I don't even remember what the original impetus was, but it was along the lines of that, like, we all need a little reminder to be happy. And I think it was also just the idea of making the podcast itself focus on, you know, we're here as teachers, but we're also here as entertainers, as helping people get into that higher vibration. So it's kind of like setting a standard, like, this is what we're aiming for every show. So the pressure is on. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, come on, Louis.
No, that's his way of dealing with the pressure.
Okay.
That's his way of saying, I don't care about pressure. Doesn't
exactly.
bother me at all.
You got it, Walt.
No stress. No stress.
No stress at all. Well, look at the guy. He doesn't even have a gray hair. How could he be experiencing any stress?
Come on. It's a great camera. I pay a lot of money for it.
I love it. I love it. Where can I buy that camera? Okay. So how about you guys? How's your weekend been? Do you have a happy one doing fun vibration-raising stuff?
Well, we went and spent some time in nature yesterday. So nature is always a very good rebalancer. And,
no kidding. Yeah.
Looking at lovely nature and hills and valleys and trees and hugging trees is always really good for me. And I think we should I think as human beings, it would be. A great thing to go out into nature more and experience it wherever we are, you know, even if it's in the middle of the city, there's definitely a little green spot somewhere where you can.
There usually is.
Where you can sit under a tree or just be at one with something other than a human.
Yes.
Something that is not efforting.
That's right. Yes. Something that's easy. Really, really
I mean,
easy.
that's what animals and plant life show us, how there is no effort in being, is there?
Right.
Because animals and plants and trees and, you know, wildlife just shows us how to be. I mean, if you sow a seed, it's going to take its time. It's not going to rush up quicker if you say you gotta.
This is true.
You know, it's going to take its time and it's going to do it in its own sweet time. And I think we need to learn a bit from that and just drop our shoulders, you know, be the smile, hold a finger, and just go with the flow of that moment, and you know that nothing needs to be done in this moment. Unless it does, of course, but, you know, in the moment. In the next moment, maybe.
One thing I love about nature is the ease with which it handles death.
Well, it kind of just absorbs it.
Yeah, I mean, you eat the apple, you eat the fruit, you eat the, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't cry or jump up and down or wail, or it just surrenders and off it goes, you know.
This is true. Yes. By the way, we actually have a question here from Excellent. A listener who is a listener name I don't recognize, so I'm going to presume this is a new listener. But the listener is asking how the law of attraction works and how do we use it in daily life. So it's pretty broad. You can pretty much go at that any way you want to. Louis, I'm going to go to you first because you're always...
Yeah, off you go, Louis.
Well, the law of attraction, the way I like explaining the law of attraction is, first of all, to think of the law of attraction in a slightly different way. The law of attraction is, to me, initially to someone who's new to it, maybe a little bit confusing, but the way I like describing the law of attraction is really a universal force that amplifies thought. So whatever you think, it makes it bigger. And where the attraction comes in is whatever you think about, it brings more of the same vibration to you. So you think happy thoughts, you get more happy thoughts. You think unhappy thoughts, you get more unhappy thoughts. So, you know, the law of attraction is a simple universal law that has been around from the beginning of time and has never, ever changed. So understanding that it's there, understanding what it is and how to use it, is absolutely key to changing almost everything in your life. And its simplicity is mind-blowing. It's not related to any religion or path or group. It simply is a law that is out there, and you can either appreciate it and realize it and run with it, or you can do whatever you wish. But the conscious awareness of the law of attraction makes a huge difference in your life, absolutely huge. As you know, if you listen to a lot of these podcasts, there's story after story after story of how it helps manifest things. And, you know, if you want something and you get it, it's the most satisfying thing in the world. And if you want something and don't get it, it's one of the most unsatisfying things in the world. So you really want to know how to get what you want. And that's what the law of attraction teaches you. So you could want more love in your life. You could want a nicer partner in your life. You could want more money in your life. You could want 101 million things. But whatever you specifically want, you want it to manifest. You want to get it. So the law of attraction, once you understand how it works, you can get it. So I'll hand it over to everybody else. I mean, has anybody got a good manifestation story today?
Bella asked to go into that first. Go ahead.
Well, before we go into a manifestation story, one of the things that, as you were talking, Louis, that came up for me was the word satisfaction that Abraham uses a lot, you know, because where do you start when we talk about the law of attraction? You know, how can I stop this negativity and go to something more positive? And satisfaction is something that Abraham talks about that is easier to get to. You know, how can I feel satisfied in this moment? That word satisfaction. It doesn't mean you have to be happy, like dizzy happy, and, you know, and pretend that everything's okay or whatever. But you can find something that allows you to be satisfied in the moment. And just by thinking that or being that or getting to that satisfaction point, then you can... it's much easier to get to where you want to be from where you are. So satisfaction is something that is really big for me in the law of attraction, because when you look at that emotional guidance system, it's about in the middle. So you've got some way to go to joy and happiness, but you're way up it, so you're already there if you go to satisfaction. So manifestation. Louis.
Well, before you get to manifestation, I've got more commentary. But that was good. I like that. One thing that I like to remember is, like Louis was saying, the law of attraction has been around since the beginning of time, and most likely before that, if that means anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it's been around forever, and it will be around forever. It is, I would say, the best universal law in that it is truly universal. I've never seen or heard of an exception. I don't think you guys have either. And that's kind of unusual for laws. Most laws have, you know, some little minor exception built in, but not this one. This one applies everywhere. And as a result of that, I asked myself almost from the very beginning of my exposure to the concept, okay, well, if it's been around forever, why didn't I notice it? And it took me a while to realize that the answer was I didn't notice it because I didn't realize it was affecting every single thing that happens in my life. In fact, it affected all of them without exception. So literally, I can just look around at anything that's in my life, everything that's in my life, and know that in one way or another, one shape, manner, or form, I attracted that. I may not have done it deliberately. In fact, I think I can pretty honestly say I did not deliberately attract about 99% of it, but I did attract it. And that takes a little bit of getting used to that idea. No, I won't say that little bit is actually inaccurate. It takes a lot of getting used to. That's not easy. That's not an easy thing. But nevertheless, we have to kind of come to grips with it. Like everything in our lives, we attract it either consciously or subconsciously or some combination of the two. But once I recognize that, I also realize that, my God, I'm powerful. I'm a hell of a lot more powerful than I thought I was. Like, holy cow, look what I've done. I mean, this is like, I'm like a walking water cannon that's spurting water all over the place, and I got to learn how to control myself so I'm not spurting water all over on everybody else or on my life or on things I don't want or whatever. It's like, whoa, slow down here. How does this thing work? But that gives me a sense it sounds like chaotic, but it actually gives me a sense of peace of knowing that, wow, I really have this much power. This is just something I have to learn better how to apply consciously, because once I learn how to apply it consciously, my life gets better and better and better and better. And of course, as I've stuck to that, sure enough, my life has gotten better and better and better and better. So it's cool. It actually does work. It does pay off. How about that?
Lovely. Yes.
You said there was a further question there. Was it,
Well, the second part of the question was how to apply it in your life.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So you know, I was going through a whole lot of manifestations last week that happened to me. So this week I now manifested my Jaguar.
Oh, okay. Mr. Hoity-toity.
But it was really quite an incredible experience from the point of view that my wife was at work, found an ad for a specific Jag, and we hadn't really discussed it too much besides I knew the color and kind of shape I wanted. And she showed it to me in the morning. I said, great, it's not far. Let's go have a look at it. So on the way down, we were having a look at what it would take to cancel our current insurance, what it would take to insure that specific car. And we walked in there and we chatted. We kicked the tires and went around a little bit and drove it. Everything was nice. Then we sit down for the finances, and I'm sitting there playing a game because the guy's getting a bit stuck on something. And he says, "You serious, playing a game?" I said, yeah. And I turned my phone around and said, "Look, I'm playing a game." I said, "I know this car's mine. I know I'm going to be driving away with it. There's absolutely no question about anything. It's the next logical step for me. It's, you know, I've thought about getting a Jag for quite a while. I've done all the mental preparation. Everything was in place. I had, you know, it was absolutely no doubt I was walking out with it." And he was just like looking at me like I'm mad. And, you know, everything goes through, and I trade in my old car for almost not much at all, but doesn't matter. Everything worked out absolutely beautifully. I took the car home, and, you know, every time I get up in the morning and I look at this beautiful red Jag out there, and I was like, wow, this is just so dreamy, you know. I mean, it feels good. It's like, what a beautiful beast. It's just got such a nice energy to the shape. For me. And, you know, I just so appreciate it. And, you know, it's got a lot of gadgets, okay? A lot of things which are so carefully thought out. You know, I have so much respect for the amount of time and effort they've spent on all the little details in that car. And that is what I love. You know, I can talk about those features all day and every day because
I can tell.
they're just really there to make your life easier, you know? You get in the car and the steering wheel goes into the right space, and you've got a button to set all your seats and at the right amount if somebody else was using it before you, you know, and all is electric. When you walk up to the car, as long as you've got the key on your body, you just open the door. You don't press a button or anything. You just walk up to your car and you open the door. And you get inside and you press the start button. So the key's still inside your pocket. You haven't done anything.
Right.
Oh, my, that's scary.
Keyless entry.
Yeah, keyless entry. And it's just really everything about it. If you press the button for 3 seconds when you're outside of it on a hot day, it'll open all the windows. If somebody forgets to close a window when you leave, you press 3 seconds again, it'll lift them all up.
Wow. Nice.
You know, it's a small
I actually had an experience with keyless entry. We had to rent a car because Louise's truck was in the mechanic shop.
Yeah.
And so we had to get another truck for a couple days. And it was my first experience with keyless entry. I didn't realize it was a keyless entry vehicle. And so they hand me this key. It's this really strange-looking key. And I get into the car, and there's no place to put the key.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't realize it was a keyless entry car, you know? So I can't start
the
car.
Cubby hole.
Yeah, right. So I'm pulling out the owner's manual, trying to read, how do you start the car?
Walt. That makes me laugh.
Well, nobody told me it was a keyless entry. I mean, I'm supposed to know that. You just, hey, I rented the car. It's my responsibility, right? It took me 20 minutes to get out of that lot.
So it wasn't a very old Jag because I bought a secondhand one. And it only had 35 Ks on the clock.
Nice.
Which is like really low. And, you know, it was the right color. It was a really good price. You know, everything was just spot on and drove perfectly, you know. Just an absolute dream. It's just, you just can't believe it. There's one thing that that I wasn't so happy about, and that was a bit of a smell in the car. But, you know, that's almost gone now. So it was a small thing. But, you know, next time I'm going to visualize, what I'm trying to say is, you know, if you do a little more mental preparation of clearly about what you want, you can actually eliminate all these little nigglies as well. You just got to be clearer and clearer and clearer about what you want and how you want it.
Absolutely.
And you can get it.
And are you satisfied?
I can't tell you how much. It's just really,
yes.
You know.
I can hear it,
You can be, like Esther says, you know, well, Abram says about Esther, it's like, you know, Esther bought this new car and she was happy with it for the afternoon, you know.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, I already am looking at other features which I would like and other shape and sizes and models, and you know, so you know, it is like that, because once you've got what you want, what you've manifested, what you wanted, and it's now manifested, now you're in a place where you're looking from a higher viewpoint. Oh, I want that now, that's just something even better. So when you know what you don't want, you have a better idea what you do want, or if you know where you are at the moment and you have a better idea where you want to go, then you know that's the way it works. So you know, everything in my mind is just twisted and it's going to another level, another level, another level, another level, another level. And it's just really key to see what else is around the corner, because there's so much more. You know, I haven't even started scraping the surface yet.
I'm reminded of the story that Mike Dooley likes to tell. This is one of his notes from the universe. And in this note, he says that you decide to do a test flight with a $20 million private jet airplane that's for sale, and you get up there into the air, and the pilot is flying the plane, and you're cruising along at 600-700 miles an hour, something like that, and the salesman is talking to you, explaining to you all the features of the plane and all the luxuries that are inside and so forth. And of course, you know, the notes from the universe is all about focusing your attention, focusing your vibration on what you really, really want. So Mike concludes the note by saying, you listen to the salesman, you look around, you say, it's all very nice, but don't you have an interior that's newer than the 2000 model?
Don't you know that it takes these guys 10 years to get it approved?
Yeah, right. It's that too, yeah.
It makes the point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're aiming for that really high vibrational point. And it doesn't mean that you got there overnight. I mean, how long have you been developing yourself? How long have you been working on this stuff?
Probably like 2 or 3 years at least.
At least.
But again, it's amazing how little effort was involved in getting it. I mean, it was almost zero. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting in a car and driving for half an hour, which means I'd get a drive back in my new car, which made sense to me. You know, I wouldn't like it next door to me so that I could just drive it 2 seconds home.
That would be pretty frustrating, yeah.
But, it, you know, you could still take it for a drive. But so anything could work. But, you know, it's just the ease with absolutely every step of the way was just amazing. It was just doof, 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 doof.
And does the rest of the family like it?
Oh, everybody loves it.
Oh, I'm sure. You're going to have to take us for a...
I picked my daughter up from school I didn't tell her why I was buying it, so I pull up outside, and she's like, "Who's this dude?" Wants to pick me up. I wind down the window, and she looks and she says, "Dad, you buy this?" No, I stole it.
You stole it, yeah, right. So we have a follow-up question. This one is from a regular listener. This is from Jenny. And she says, would serenity or contentment be good states to aim for as being similar to satisfaction?
Not really.
In my book, yes.
We have dissension here on the panel. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm all for contentment. Contentment is good for me. It works for me.
So the interesting thing is there's a starting point. There's a different vibration for everything. And the thing that really tickles my fancy more than anything is clarity. Mm. So I really like being clear about what I'm saying, where I'm going, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing. And I actually find myself getting annoyed by the contrast when my daughter starts talking and then she doesn't know what she's saying and then she has to rethink it and then comes out all different. It just says, you need to get the thoughts clear before you. So ask her to stop, pause, get it clear in your head, and then speak. So that's exactly how the universal law asks you to work. You need to do the mental preparation first, then the physical flows. Everything just comes out. So when you're looking at the words of satisfaction versus, what was the other one?
Satisfaction versus serenity or contentment.
So all of them are slightly different vibration, and they're going to be very dependent on the individual. So sure. If you're really having a hectic life and serenity is extremely appealing to you, which it's not for me, okay, because I have quite a serene life as it is, then it could be something really that you want to go for, and it could really mean a lot for you and for where you're going. So Understand that the law of attraction is very individualistic, and your higher self knows what you want, and will strive to give you what you want. So
that's closer to what I had in mind, because for me, it isn't so much a question of what's better. It's what's better for where I am right now. I mean, if I'm feeling fearful right now, contentment sounds great. Mm. I mean, that's like, whoa, let's go for content. That sounds really, really good. But on the other hand, if I'm feeling ecstatic, contentment sounds boring by comparison. So it depends where I am.
So this was Jenny, yeah?
This was Jenny, yes.
Yeah, so Jenny, what we're trying to say here is that, look at your own self, look at what you want, and just get clear about it, because you may not – this is one thing that the law of attraction does for you, which is, to me, one of the most amazing things about the law of attraction. It allows you to dream again. Because the law of attraction is now saying to you, you don't have to manifest it physically. You just have to believe in your mind that this is an enjoyable thing and you visualize it. That's it. That's all the law of attraction is asking you to do. And once you start realizing that, then you start realizing that the law of attraction can bring in from so many different areas and places all the factors that are involved to what you want without almost any effort, If you could have been with me when I bought the Jag the other day, you would have seen how effortless, where it is the next logical step. There was no vibrational difference between who I was the few minutes before buying it, or hours before buying it, or even weeks, months before buying it, and actually buying it. It was just like, this is the next logical step. There is nothing that is going to get in the way. It's just going to roll over and I'm going to get it. And that's exactly how it was. It was a very, very easy transition. And, my old car was really old. So I went from some vibration of a car that if I was focusing on that car, I would have got more of that car. You know what I mean? I would have got something of a similar vibration. But in my head, I was visualizing something light years ahead of where I was currently. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is a very important thing to understand. Then you can make the jump to any level of car. In the old days, I remember finding myself saying, can I actually buy a BMW? Can I carry off the image of a BMW? And now that's the like most ridiculous concept that could ever come across in my mind. Now, like, how could I have even thought like that? And, you know, we've all got these kind of obstacles in our head in the with our old vibration, not understanding the law of attraction, that gets in the way of holding us back from getting all this other stuff.
And it's not just about getting, but it is about being. So it's the same concept for your body and your well-being and your wellness. You know, Abraham says that you can change your perception of your body and what's going on in your body in a moment as well, if you really want to.
So let's tie the Genshin side into it. I actually, when we do the Monday podcast, I always title it something that includes the Genshin Jutsu in the title. So let's tie that portion into what we're talking about with Law of Attraction. And Astrid, there's nobody better to talk about that. How do you tie the two together in your mind?
Well, I mean, it is about awareness as well. It's about awareness of what your body needs and what your body thrives on rather than what it doesn't thrive on. So that's a three-tiered mental, physical, emotional state. And Law of Attraction is going to give you that awareness of what it is I want for my body. And Genshin Jutsu is going to give you the tools and awareness to actually apply the method to get there as well. So it's a good combination of awareness and tools.
Mm-hmm.
What I was remembering that Abram said is that, guys, it's really easy for you to change your physical body. It's easier than to manifest other things. And I was trying to think why they said that. And it kind of came to me that, you know, you're always with your physical body. You're always thinking about it. You're always dealing with it, you know. And it's because it's the amount of time you spend mentally thinking about your physical body and that you have it, that it is easier. So, you know, it's really something to understand about the physical is it's quite easy to change. And Genshin Jutsu really teaches us that. I mean, we're really aware of how quickly and easily the body can change, just like blink of an eye.
And interestingly, Mary Burmeister herself, she was the foremost teacher of Genshin Jutsu and brought Genshin Jutsu self-help to the West. She also said, focus less on the body. So focus less on what is wrong, you know, focus less on what is wrong with the body, and things will just stabilize. I mean, the body is very intelligent. The body knows what to do, but we've lost that trust that the body knows what to do.
No, only the doctors know. I'm sorry.
So,
you know, even Mary said that, and it's true. When I have clients who really focus on they're in this loop of what is wrong with their body, and it's just not going to change because they're just focusing on what is wrong with the body, and yet there's so much right with the body. And you know, when I see them as a practitioner, I can see what's changing and what's changing for the better, but they're stuck in the loop and they're keeping themselves there in this cage, you know.
So they'll get healed with your session. They'll go home. They'll have the old thoughts and they'll just re-manifest the old problems in the physical body.
Well, it just takes longer for them to experience or to become aware of the changes.
Yeah. But it's something we find with all ourselves, you know. The old thinking creeps back again, and then the old manifestations of on the physical just happen again, you know. So, you know, the whole experience with a car, I did spend a lot of time visualizing what I didn't have. I spent a lot of time.
Yeah. I think probably the one area of life that people spend the most time focused on what they don't want is their relationships with other people. It's amazing how often that happens, that we're we're focused on what didn't go right, or you know, why didn't it go right, and how can we fix that? It didn't go right, and blah blah blah. We're always focused on, well, it didn't go right. It kept going wrong. It just wasn't, you know, there. I don't like the way that person's treating me. I wish that he and we get into a critical mode, right? In fact, Abraham put out they put out their daily notes, their daily quotes, and today's quote was on the topic. It says, "We would like you to reach the place where you're not willing to listen to people criticize one another, where you take no satisfaction from somebody being wrong, where it matters to you so much that you feel good that you are only willing to think positive things about people, and you are only willing to look for positive aspects. You are only willing to look for solutions here, and you're not willing to beat the drum of all mm-hmm. the problems of the world." And boy, oh boy, I mean, it takes a while to get away from where we used to that place, but it certainly is the ideal place to get to. That's my view anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
I have glimpses.
Sorry, I have glimpses, right, yes. I think we all do, yeah.
And then it's all downhill, and then it's, oh, here I go again. Ooh, a glimpse, and then it's all downhill. Don't worry, this happens to everyone, even the most experienced LOAers.
This is true.
This is very true.
Because we're only human.
Well, the whole thing is to appreciate the downs, because without them, you know, you're not going to go.
You have no perspective.
You have no perspective, yeah.
Exactly.
And that is the power. That is the power, is to understand the importance of negativity.
And there's a distinction here that can be confusing, because often people find themselves in a place of thinking, well, I don't want to love what person X is doing. I don't love what they're doing at all. Why should I have to love what they're doing?
Well, there's no should.
Well, the whole thing is, maybe I missed some part of what you're saying there. Well, so correct me, but keep your focus on where you're going. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's very hard to do.
I don't know. I'm finding it easier and easier.
Well, again,
it's just practice, you know. It's just practice.
Yeah, but you don't have gray hair, so you don't. I mean, you have an extra.
No, okay, that's true.
I've got gray hair.
But let's go. Let's go to some.
It's a good
let's
camera.
Go to that place where it is practice. But how do you start? So how?
That's good.
You know, someone who is not in that place constantly. Someone who we say all these things, but how do we get? You know, how can we help someone who is surrounded by people or is not in a good place because of other people?
So Astrid, we've got two choices. It's the stick or the carrot, yeah?
Well, that's one way to look at it. I mean,
there
are a few ways to look at this. The way I look at it is, no matter what space you're in, no matter what experience you're having, no matter how bad it is, no matter how frustrating the people around you are, no matter how bad everything is going. And I had a conversation with one of our regular listeners on Facebook recently, in which he was basically telling me how terrible everything was. I mean, it was really, really bad. I mean,
terrible. What was?
His life, everything
his
was
life.
Going wrong.
Okay.
There was no money in the bank. The kids were hungry. You know, the rent was due. The other people didn't care. I mean, it was just like this long litany of things like that. And when you get in that space, that's a really, really tough space.
Mm.
But we're not all in that space. We're all in different spaces. We're in different places where some of us are finding ourselves, maybe our subconscious minds are hammering us throughout the day. Some of us were only being, you know, knocked on the door a little bit. Some of us have gotten to the point where you're at, where you don't even get the negative stuff coming into your mind at all. But we're in a wide range of places. The person sitting behind you.
Yeah, okay. Right shoulder.
So we're all in different places. Yeah. And I think the same answer applies in every single place. Are you focusing a little bit more on what you want than you did yesterday?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So there is always the fundamental law of attraction principle. And I think this would be a good place to go back to, you know, number one, two, and three. What is the first thing that we do? What is the second thing? And what is the third thing, you guys?
Step one, two, three.
Yeah.
Sure. Step one is to know what you don't want. Step two is to know what you want. Step three is to lower the resistance and manifest what you want. And then step four is, if you wanted to add that step in, it's to repeat step three again and again and again. So know what you don't want, know what you do want, manifest, and do it again and again and again. So Yeah, those are the steps, and they're very important, Astrid. You're quite right. So somebody who's new wants to understand the law of attraction, understand that that's how it works. It starts off with knowing what you don't want.
So, okay, so step number one is ask. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ask comes from knowing what you don't want.
Okay, so we're always asking. So the thing is to ask for what you want, not ask for what you don't want, and be very clear about what it is you do want. That's step
number one.
Which
can be a challenge, by the way, because most of us are very good at identifying what we don't want, but we're not so good at identifying how to turn it into what we do want.
It's really hard. And for many, you know, for things that are really simple, it's really you go straight to it. That's what I want. But for things that are more complicated, as it were, a lot of people don't know what they want. So yeah, that's really, really important. So when you're really, really clear about what you want, and it can be a little button or it can be a castle, as Abraham says, if you're really clear about wanting that castle, then that's a really great first step. And then step two is basically that it is given. I mean, it is given, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ask.
And then step three is the more difficult bit, is the allowing. So how do you allow? What are all the things that
well, first of all, I have to comment on the I have to comment on the traditional Abraham example of a button in a castle, because it's clear to me that Abraham is in non-physical form. If they were in physical form, they'd realize that you can't fasten your shirt with a castle and you can't live in a button. And once they had that sorted out, then they'd understand, well, it's not really a good range that we're showing here.
No. They're
That's
talking about the speed of manifestation. They're not talking about anything else.
I think it's for illustration purposes, Walt.
Come on, you non-believers.
Abraham's having a really good
The daily
laugh,
dose
by
a happy
way.
Part. This yeah, is the part
sure
where we
is.
Feel better.
Yeah, but they're having a really good laugh.
Sure.
Oh, yes, all the time.
We're entertaining them as well. So the third step is to allow. So when you allow, then it's much easier for the manifestation to come to you. Is that right?
And it's also another one of the really challenging steps, because I remember my first time that I was faced with the prospect of, well, I'm not getting stuff because I'm not allowing, I'm resisting, okay. How do I turn the resistance off? I looked down at my chest and say, where's the resistance meter? I don't know where to turn it down.
And that's a really difficult one, because when it's something that matters, it'll be, I really want this, I really want this. But in the back of your head, you've got something else going on. Oh, but it'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me.
And a lot of the resistances, we don't even realize we're resisting. We've gotten so heavily programmed into our subconscious that we just don't even notice that we're resisting with them. It has to be pointed out to us sometimes.
I like the story of the jag, because my wife was sitting one evening. I mean, we had not planned this. There was zero plan to buy a car, okay? Nothing. There was just in my mind that I was going to get a Jag one day or sometime and all the rest of it. And actually, I was spending a lot more time recently visualizing actually being in the Jag driving as opposed to, oh, I like the Jag. Ooh, that's a nice one. Okay, so now it was more, I'm actually driving this thing. So, and I was only doing that for about a month. So she's at night, sees this ad. I look at it when she comes home, because she sends me the link on WhatsApp. So I just had a look at it before she came home, actually. And I said, yeah, that looks good. I mean, low mileage, you know, perfect body. There's not a scratch on it, except a couple on the bumper, you know, on the front where you'd normally get a bit of spit, you know. So all the pieces fitting together, good price, da-da-da-da, and jump in a car, just go down. But if you notice, the whole process was very, very low resistance. Mm-hmm. It just felt very logical, the next logical step. And that is such an important part of understanding manifestation. If you haven't done all the work mentally first, you know how many obstacles could have come in there?
Oh, God.
Yes. One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And, you know, is this the right car? Should we look at this one? Should we look at that one? And, you know, and it goes all over the place. And eventually you're so confused, you don't even know who you are anymore, and you give up on the car, and then it arrives.
It arrives. I love it.
I think one of the other things that is a challenge is that most of us humans are very impatient. So, you know, we want something and then we want it overnight, or we want it immediately. And, you know, Louis, that whole process of preparation, getting ready to be ready, as Abraham says, to be ready, to be ready, to be ready.
Ready to be ready.
You know,
to be ready.
That is the preliminary work that needs to be done before the sort of effortless, smooth manifestation occurs. And that has been in the pipeline for a while. So I think patience with yourself as well, not to get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, to go back to that sense of, you know, satisfaction. And, because that's something that Abraham talks a lot about, is satisfaction with where you are and what you have. Because if you don't love the car that you have or you had, you probably...
Oh, that's another story I've got to tell you.
Carry on. Manifest the car conking out on you, and then you have to buy something and it all goes haywire.
So Astrid, let me tell you what happened. We're sitting there and I said, darling, let's take the car up the road and have a little drink before we say yes, and we have a chat amongst ourselves. So we drive up there. And park the car. And as I come, we decide we're taking the new car. We get into the old one, okay? And we've got about to drive it back to the dealer. But I can't press the little button in, the automatic button that changes the gear, you know? And I'm hitting the brake, because you've got to put your foot in the brake before this button will go in. And it won't go in. And I was like, oh, my God, now I've sold this car out, you know? It just doesn't feel like it wants me anymore. It's wants it anymore. And I was like, please just get us back to the dealer. Just get us back to the dealer.
That is awesome. That's amazing.
And that's exactly how it works, okay? Because you know how many mobile phones, before I understood this process, got destroyed? My old one got destroyed before I got my new one, you know? And it was not necessary. It was just like, oh, I don't care about this. I'm only thinking about that one. This one's terrible, and that one's so much better. Mm-hmm. And that is when you absolutely, you know, you just hit problem after
so
problem.
So what is the I'm
it eventually
say
did
lesson,
get me back to the dealer, obviously. Yeah.
Okay, so basically... So when you're in a place, that you don't want to be, or when you're, let's say, you have a car that you don't want, Abraham says, you know, love where you're at, love the car that you're in. Mm. But what's the balance? Am I explaining this properly?
No, I'm not clear.
No. Okay. Well, do you get what I'm saying?
Kind
like
of,
you want this new
you
car,
you need to pull it together
but
more.
You have
I'm not quite
to
sure
love,
where you're
but don't not love the car that you have, because if you don't love the car that you have, even though you want a new car, your old car will pack up.
Try taking what you just said and phrase it in the positive, because you used a lot of double negatives. So take off the double negatives and let's put it into the positive and see if it.
Well,
comes
I did that for a reason, because to illustrate that, you know, if you don't love your car. So that's what you want, is to love your car and also be very clear about the next
where
step
want,
up,
yeah.
The upgrade.
So what
that's
you're
what I'm trying to get at, because people won't, you know, many people who are new, you have to be happy with where you are, don't you?
So I'm going through a divorce. I have to be happy where I'm at. And that is absolutely true. If you want to move on.
Okay, there we go. That's a good example.
Hmm.
So go on. Sorry, Walt.
I'm doing fine, Astrid. I'll just sit here and enjoy. I mean,
no. I don't want to usurp your position. Sorry, I do apologize. I'm getting all excited.
Hey, I do five of these a week. I'm fine. You know, it's okay.
I'm all excited. I really want to. You know, I want to get very clear about this as well, because it's something that is quite important.
So I helped somebody through a divorce situation. And it was quite interesting, because they were really hammering on about how terrible the guy was. And I was saying, no, he's been your teacher. He's been your guide. He's helped you. And it was going on and on. And it, you know, it took approximately a year, maybe a little bit more, before the whole message sunk in and sunk in completely. And then they were saying, oh, you were so right all along the way, and now I can see how they helped, and, you know, and on and on and on. But and once I got to that stage, you know, the new house came up, they moved, and everything worked out, and, you know, and all the rest of it. But until then, and so long as she was pushing against and hating where she was at that moment of breaking up, it was absolute hell for her.
And yeah, and I can understand that. And I think a lot of people can understand that. The way that I have found to look at what we're addressing here that kind of makes sense to me is to understand that every time that I'm talking about or thinking about or expressing something about something that I don't really like very much and I'm doing it with any kind of passion at all, I'm reinforcing it. So I really don't want to reinforce it. I don't want to avoid it either. If I just avoid it, I'm not, it's just kind of sitting there in limbo. I'm not getting away from it. I'm not getting close to it. It's just kind of sitting there. It's just not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I want it to go away. Well, it doesn't go away by me getting excited about it. It doesn't go away by me, you know, just kind of leaving it in limbo. How am I going to get to where I want to get to? And I think this is where you're pointing to, Louis, the idea that in some way, If we can find some way to come to terms with it, if we can find some way to make peace with it, in that coming to terms, in that making peace, we ultimately achieve the goal of getting it to go away, which is kind of an ironic thing. But it really is true because, like you pointed out with your story there, you know, somebody who is just fixated on it, they're going to get all this stuff coming out of it, that they don't like, that it just keeps coming and coming and coming until finally they can come to terms with it. Once they come to terms with it, once they make peace with it, then they really don't have any need to focus on it anymore. It becomes uninteresting. It becomes disinteresting to them, you know, and so they can truly just be, you know, like indifferent to that situation.
Or satisfied.
Like, or satisfied. It could be, sure.
So find a point of satisfaction. Is that?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that car story, the old one that I had, you know, the engine and the mechanics of that car has almost never failed me since day one. It's been absolutely rock solid. Mm. And now at the nth hour, it plays up and it's like, come on, this is just unbelievable. This just proves the law of attraction absolutely down to a T. And, you know, as soon as my wife and I both understand the law of attraction well, we both sat there and said, are we just going to visualize how much we love this car? And I was just thinking about how good it's been for me and how long it's done its great job and all the rest of it. And then I pressed the button and it went in. It's like, yeah, it's just like unbelievable.
That's so cool.
There's a key point I want to make too, because I've been thinking about Astrid's word satisfaction. And there is a possibility that we can make the false assumption that in order to feel satisfaction about something that we really don't like, we have to convince ourselves that we like it. Mm. But that's not the case. We don't have to like it. Mm-mm. No, there's no rule that says you have to like what you don't like. Quite to the contrary, Abraham goes out of their way to say, you know, we're not telling you what to like or what not to like. That's up to you entirely. We're telling you how to manifest what you're looking for. Mm. And their point where your word satisfaction is concerned is that you aren't going to be trying to be satisfied with, I like this thing. I really like this thing. I like this divorce that I don't like. No, that's not the point. The point is
you now know what you don't like.
Yeah.
And you're now going to be clearer about what you do like.
Exactly is the satisfaction going to come in? That's the question that you're really trying to answer.
Well, Abraham says when you're in a very low space and you want to find something that you can be satisfied about, is go general. Mm-hmm. Go general. If you get very specific, if you get specific at all, then you're going to go that way down. So go general, you know. You can go general very easily.
One of my favorite ways to release that kind of resistance, particularly where a relationship is concerned, and particularly a relationship that I really don't want, that I really don't like, you know, is, and I won't bring any specifics in because this is not about particular people, it's about the principle of it. But if there's a person X, who I really don't like, and I really have hard time finding anything that I want to say about them. I mean, there's nothing about that person that I like. well, I can still take satisfaction. I can take satisfaction in knowing that that, if I really want to, and this is a little bit mean-spirited, so you have to kind of take this with a grain of salt, but I can take satisfaction with this person is attracting into their lives just as we're attracting into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're attracting stuff that I wouldn't like. So when they attract something that I wouldn't like, regardless of whether they like it, I can take satisfaction. Like, oh, well, you attracted you something you didn't like. You know? Now, does it matter really whether or not I like it? Not really. Not from their perspective, it doesn't. From their perspective, what matters is whether they like it.
Mm.
But I can, I find I can let go of it if I can see that they got what they didn't like. I can say, well, you asked for it. And then I feel better.
You know, Walt, I'm fairly flexible when it comes to almost everybody in my life. And, you know, almost nobody rubs me up the long way. But we had a...
We did find one person. We found a film star.
I'm not with you. I lost that.
Oh, I think it was it last week? Last week or the week before, we discovered that one of the really good film stars is one that you really don't like. She just doesn't
work. Meryl Streep. Yeah,
Meryl Streep, yeah.
Not, goodness.
Just doesn't work for you.
But I never watch anything of her, so I don't get it wrong. But we had this gas engineer come to our house. It's a lady. And I was like almost shaking with dislike. And everything that came out of her mouth, okay, and I didn't like anything she said or anything, you know, it was actually really relatively civil and logical and all the rest of it, non-confrontational, but I really didn't like her. My wife really didn't like her either. And I was like, where does this come from? You know, such a strong dislike. And then you start saying, well, we're obviously not in vibrational sync. Fair enough. You're just an engineer who's come into a house.
Sure.
So this can happen. So it's not – and why I drew that engineer on that day, well, she just walked in there, said she couldn't do anything and made a phone call and walked out. So she wasn't around long either. She was like repelled. We were repelling each other. Like poof, she was gone. Never seen her again, luckily. But it was really fascinating for me to experience that again because it's a long time since I've had that feeling of my vast dislike for somebody for no apparent reason, you know? There was nothing specific that you really went on about, you know?
And
all the rest of it, but...
With your example, I can actually point to where I would take satisfaction from that.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, satisfaction is when she left. Lesson.
She's yeah.
That was very satisfying.
It was really interesting because I was going to say to my wife, I really don't want her back. And it's like, I mustn't say that. So tempting to say things like that, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And we should also illustrate if we've been trying to talk to the beginner audience, right? So we should illustrate for beginners, why is that important? Why is it important?
When you say no to something, you're saying yes to something you don't want.
And that sounds so contradictory, so you'll have to explain it a little bit deeper.
It's very, very simple. Whatever you think about, the law of attraction amplifies. So when you're saying, I don't want so-and-so, the universe sees so-and-so and gives it to you because it's taking what you're thinking about and giving you more of it. And, you know, when you say, ooh, I'd really like another engineer that I get along well with, that is focusing on what you do want. And then you will get that. But whatever you focus on, you get. So if you're focusing on what you don't want, you're going to get it. I don't want a cold this winter. You know, you're going to get one.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. The
I
point
don't
is,
want
it doesn't matter
anymore. I've had enough of them. You're going to get more headaches.
And so. the way to get out of that loop is to distract yourself. Just distract yourself. Go and bake a cake or
have a bath,
bungee
or
jumping,
sauna.
Or you know, whatever takes your fancy.
Absolutely.
But the point is that there's that in terms of the way vibration works, there is no vibrational equivalent to don't. Don't doesn't actually have a vibration to it. It's just thing.
I don't think it's so much about the don't or do's. I think it's more about you're thinking about that individual that you don't want. It's
yeah.
What you do and what you don't want.
I guess what I'm thinking is we humans, we tend to think that there is thing and then there's not thing and that they are not the same at all. But they really are the same.
Energy is not a negative or a positive vibration.
No,
it's just energy. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, a vibration is a vibration is a vibration.
Yes,
yeah.
So yes and no is a vibration, and it's going to, you're going to, you know, which road are you going down? Is it the no road? Well, then that's what you're going to see coming at you. Or the yes road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how yes and no are basically two sides of that same coin, aren't they?
Yes.
I love bringing up my old sauna story to illustrate the...
You only have one?
Oh, don't get him started. You can only tell the one.
I see this guy there, and he's a new guy. I've never seen him before, and he looks like a businessman. So I'm just curious, you know, what does he do? So I start off by saying, you know, you remember, been a member long and all the rest of it. And then I got around to talking to him about age, and, you know, he was very cagey about everything he said. So he said to me, how old do you think I am? And I gave him a younger age, and he says, oh, I'm much older. So I said, wow, you look great for, you know, for your age. And I said, how old do you think I am? And, you know, he said, younger than I am. And I said, no, I'm so-and-so. And he said, oh, but I'm not going to compliment you. I said, don't worry about that. Many people compliment me. It's fine. And he got a little bit more annoyed with that. And then I said to him, what do you do for a living? You know, and he's like really cagey. So he says to me, I'm always catching up. I said, great. I mean, what are you catching up on, your sleep or what? So he's like really getting even more angry with me, and he's looking at me. And he says, I'm just always catching up. I'm always catching up. I said, oh, great. So I said, you know what I would say? I would say something like, I'm always getting things done. Yeah, I'm always getting things done. So he looks at me and he says, what do you mean? You're saying to me that my glass is half empty. I looked at him and I smiled. I said, no, I'm not telling you that. You're telling me that. And he stormed out of the sauna. He was totally upset with me. He was absolutely livid. And, you know, it was really interesting because every step of the way when I was asking him each of those individual questions, I was saying, does this feel good? Does this feel good? Even when he left the sauna, I said, does this feel good? And it felt good all the way through. Mm. So it was really interesting that I was always in alignment the whole way through, and I was checking myself. So it was a great learning curve for me to understand that I can even get myself into conflicting situations and still being in alignment.
That's always good to do. Yeah.
And it was really interesting because that was a big learning curve for me.
Mm. It's also interesting. Your example also really does a nice job of illustrating perspective, because his perspective, I mean, you, in one sense, you both thought you were talking about the same thing, but it's pretty obvious from the way the conversation went, you guys had an entirely different perspective. I'm not even sure you realized that you were on the same topic, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
I was very impressed with him when he said, you know, are you saying that I'm saying my glass, are you saying my glass is half empty? I was, you know, he was really getting what I was saying. Yeah, he was like, oh. I was very impressed with that answer to the comprehension aspect. Yeah, he's like, oh, he gets it.
He was probably annoyed with himself because he got it.
Absolutely. You know, what I picked up from that whole conversation is that he had said to many people many a time, I'm just catching up.
Yeah.
And it was an old program that was running in his head, right. And I bet you he's never used it again since that day.
Possibly. Yeah.
I would be very surprised if he had, but, you know, he could have gone back to it. But
it'd be fun to interview him and ask him, have you caught up?
No.
Oh, that would be great if he had, because you never get it done, do you?
No, and you never get it wrong.
You never get it wrong, and you never get it done.
This is the truth. Well, in the minute and a half we have left, I want to make sure I get our promo announcements in there. So make sure that if you're not yet a subscriber, you become one. It's very, very simple to do. If you are currently using some kind of podcast platform, you can just do a search for LOA today and we'll pop right up if it's a major one. If it's a minor one, we're on most of those too. But if you can't find us for whatever reason through your search on your podcast app, just go to the website, loatoday.net, and at the top of the page, it will have directions for you to click in about 3 or 4 clicks to become a subscriber. And also feel free to subscribe to us on YouTube, because as we record these, we live stream them to YouTube. You heard us interacting with Jenny and Jeffrey and our new listener whose name scrolled off, so I can't say what that person's name was. But you know, sometimes some of our listeners like to listen in as well as we're doing the live streaming. And very simple to find us there. Just go to YouTube, do a search for LOA Today Podcast Videos. We'll pop right up. Click the subscribe button. Click the little bell next to it so you'll get notified every single time that we are live streaming or recording something. And that way you'll be able to follow us there as well. So you can watch us as we're doing this, not just listening like you can with a normal podcast. So please become a subscriber. We really love it every time somebody new joins our community that keeps growing and growing and growing. And guys, thank you so much for all your insights about Jinshin and about LOH and how we apply them in their lives, and I'm looking forward to talking to you guys, you know, next week.
Yeah, thanks very much, Walt, and thanks, listeners. Take care. Carpe diem.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Astrid.
Everyone. Thank you, Walt. Thank
all
you,
right.
Louis.
Thank
Bye.
You. And I agree with you, Louis. Thank you to the listeners, because without listeners, we wouldn't have a podcast. So we really appreciate you very much. Thanks again. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.